This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Joshua chapter 3 in our Bibles. Only place you find the book of Joshua. I'm looking for the time you don't find Joshua in some Bibles. Okay, chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 1. Read through verse 4, and then we're going to go to chapter 4. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." Okay, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you thankful for the reading of your word, understanding that this is direct from you. There are no insertions, there are no deletions, there are no corrections. It is what you said in the way you wanted it said. And so we are here and hopefully submissive to the authority of that word. We thank you for the reading, and we pray that you might bless it to our spiritual understanding, and that we might gain much from what you have prepared for us. If there's anyone, and I mean this, and you know that I mean this sincerely, if there's anyone that is just playing this game of knowing how to say things and the way in which to say them as far as salvation is concerned and still not saved, Father, may you convict their hearts of that great need, that they may be saved before this message is either over or during the invitation. We realize our time is short before many of the things we're able to do today we won't be able to do. And so we pray that we would take advantage of that which you've given us and do it in the way that you have prepared before us, because we too have not traveled to tomorrow. But you've already prepared that for us. But our eyes need to be on you in preparation of what is before us. So speak to our hearts, and may your will be accomplished here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Joshua has been promoted by the Lord after Moses' death to lead the Israelites into the land that he has promised to give them. And that the 11 or 14-day journey has now taken 40 years. They are ready to go, finally. Okay, and so in chapter 3, they move approximately 7 miles northwest from Shittim to the banks of the Jordan River. And here God was again going to show forth his mighty hand. Verse 24 is key here in chapter 4, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. And hopefully we'll see that. If you don't know already, God specializes in the impossible to man. What you and I might think is more than improbable, impossible, God can do. There's three passages, all three in the New Testament. We're just going to look at Mark chapter 10. Hold your place, Mark chapter 10. All three of them say pretty much the same thing. Mark chapter 10. The first one is in Matthew 19, 26, and the third one is in Luke 18, 27. Mark chapter 10, and look down here in verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. And the question was verse 26, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And hopefully we'll elaborate on that. And so the Lord gives clear instructions to Joshua, and Joshua takes those instructions and gives them back to the people. So I'm going to take this subject, God's hand being mighty, and go through chapter 3 and 4 and take some points out of here. So in chapter 3, I want you to begin in verse 3. Verse 3. All right, this is the message. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. All right, so the message is a command. And upon seeing the ark carried by the Levites, they had to pack up and get ready to go. And so what were they to do? They were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. So I take that they were to follow the Lord and really stay in His presence. In our day, we would say stay in fellowship. To me, this is a good command for professing Christians. Follow the Lord and stay in fellowship. I mean, if you're out of fellowship, obviously you're not following. But this is important. Now, if these were all Israelites, it would carry more weight. But you realize from Exodus chapter 12, I think around verse 38, there was a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. Some of those were Egyptians. They weren't all Hebrews. So you got to keep that in mind. So the message is clear at this point, right? Verse 14. Now we come to the miraculous. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and they, as they bare the Ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, if you have an older version of the Bible, and you have a map or an atlas, because on some of the newer material, the city Adam is not even there, and neither is the city Zaratan. But if you go back and pick up on this, you'll see that the city of Adam was north on the Jordan River in the connection of the Jabbok River. Where the Jabbok River poured into the Jordan River, that's where the city of Adam was. Zaratan was almost 10 miles north of that, right along the river. All right, the stoppage was there. That's where the water came up as a heap. Now, an Arab historian, or maybe Arab history, said that there was an incident in 1276, A.D., where the water became blocked. And it became blocked to such a degree that there couldn't be hardly any water flowing. And so they use that to say this could have happened naturally. Well, it couldn't have happened naturally. There's no way that it could, and no way that the water would have fallen, you know, down toward the Salt Sea. So the priest stood on dry ground until every Israelite passed over. This is no small miracle. This is not just something trite and, you know, not important. God kept his word. He said, you're going to cross over on dry ground. And they did. Now, if you go on back here in the ponds and drain the pond, how long would it take for the pond to become dry ground? There, we have had water there for so long. If we took it out, at one point it was down to almost nothing. It was nothing, but if you stepped in there, your foot would go down about that far. And that was months after we had no rain. Now picture a river that is flowing every day, all the time, and now the water has been separated, and the water is now, and the land is dry. You cannot explain that naturally. And you shouldn't even try. I mean, this was miraculous. And so there they were, just like the Red Sea. Crossed right over on dry ground. You know what God wants from us from this? He wants us to be obedient to his word and his will, which comes from his word. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we have to have a measure of faith. Remember, Hebrews 11:6 talks about it's impossible to please God if there's no faith involved. If you want a natural answer, then you don't want the word of God. Go to Florida State. The guy came up with an answer for the Red Sea. And he said it was such a strong wind and it just blew the water. The Red Sea. Well, of course, they also say it was only 6 inches deep. So they blew the Red Sea this way. Well, how can the wind blow this way and that way at the same time? And again, dry ground. These people that do this, they mess with your mind. You look at this, you take it for what it says, and you know that God does way more than you do. He's more powerful than you, and he did exactly what he said. So it was miraculous. Don't try to defend some idiot that thinks that it's not. All right? Chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Now talk about the memorial. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to all the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. All right, the memorial. Now, the memorial is on the basis of what? A miracle. It's to signify that there was a miracle that took place there. And you know, way too often, the miracles of God are quickly forgotten, ignored. Let's take your salvation. Your salvation is miraculous. You had no part in what Christ did for you. Our sin was imputed to him. He died for you in your place, was raised again for you. But our part was the easy part. 24 years, I'm walking around as a lost man, condemned. Not even knowing I was condemned, basically. And the instant that I received Christ as my Savior, I was bound for heaven. How can you explain that? Did I make that happen? Did the preacher make that happen? Did a religious system make that happen? No, God made that happen. As I trusted Christ, and He saved me by His grace. But listen, you're not saved by a process. You're saved by a miracle. And if you explain it in such a way that you can, if you'll do this, and you'll do this, and you'll do this, then you'll have that. How do you know that somebody would do that? Many times people have said the very things you tell them to say, but they've never really received Christ as Savior. They never called on Him to save them. So understand, this is a miracle. There's a lot of other things that are miracles. We ought to make these miracles known, new birth among others, especially to children. Especially to children. There was a family here in town years ago that came to church when we were in the hallway and then wound up going somewhere else because they believed that a child could not be saved. And therefore, the child was free to do whatever, like the Amish, free to do whatever he wants or she wants until they reach a certain age. I think it's 16 or 18. You can do drugs, you can be immoral, it doesn't matter. Now, you need to explain these miracles to children, because children can be saved. We wasted our time all week if children can't be saved. But we already know that they can. Listen, do you realize that we are living in a generation that has never seen a genuine revival? Now, you've got to go beyond my age. You've got to go beyond most ages of everybody here. Pretty close. May's pretty close. But you've got to go beyond that. If there were one to come, many would not recognize it. Say, well, why? Because many who experienced those revivals of the past failed. They failed to make it known to the younger generation. They failed to make it known to their neighbors. They failed. This is great. You know, here's a 6-week meeting. Every night there's meetings. And people are being saved every night. And things are taking place. And the immoral places are being shut down. And liquor stores are shut down. And all these things are happening. And you know what they did with it? They did nothing with it. They said, I'm glad I've got what I got, but I don't really care if my kids know it or not. Or my neighbors know it. And so we come along a few generations removed, obviously. And our kids would never know what a revival is. And sometimes, some of us wouldn't even come. The revival starts with us individually, true. But many times, there's too many things that interfere with that. Let me say it again. Our children need to hear and see about the miracles of God. And we spend a lot of time doing a lot of other things. They need to see. Do you know what Peter did when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the high priest and his servants and the soldiers came? Peter took out his sword or his knife and chopped off the high priest's ear. This is a bloody mess. You know what the Lord did? He picked it up and put it back on. Explain that. Like it never happened. Out on the water, He stilled the storm. There's nothing natural about any of this, and our kids need to know that these were miraculous. The resurrection, somebody coming back from the dead, really dead, to being really alive. People need to know that. Kids need to know that. Jonah and the great fish, being swallowed by this fish. When I was, let me go on. The sun standing still in Joshua chapter 10. After I got saved, we, Linda and I and Chris, went up to my parents in Maryland. And so I determined I was going to go talk to the reverend of the church that I grew up in. And so in the course of sitting down with him and going through the gospel, somehow we came upon the sun standing. He brought up, anybody knows the sun doesn't stand still. I said, so is God's word inaccurate? He says, obviously, it can't stand still. And then I started bringing up other miracles, and he denied them all. Why is he even there? It's no wonder nobody, those people would be saved. If you don't believe those things, the man born blind from birth, many instances of that, the lepers and so forth, they need to see this, that our God is a mighty God. His hand is mighty. It's not powerless. Maybe you don't like to talk about them, but you ought to. Yeah, there was a message. You need to follow the Lord and stay close to Him. There is the miraculous parting of the water of the Jordan River and crossing on dry ground. And then a memorial. They remembered what had happened. They did something. They set something up so they would remember. Remember that in Exodus they were supposed to commemorate the Passover every year. And they had instructions for that. Look at your Jewish people today. What do they remember about the Passover? They were released from Egypt. There's no blood. There's no sacrifice. All there is game playing and celebration. That's it. They've lost it. All right? You don't want to lose the miraculous things that have occurred, not only to you, but in Scripture. Can God still do any of these things? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think He works through certain people. I don't think, you know, these things that are going on and people hold these meetings. I disagree with that. The Lord didn't hold those kind of meetings. They just didn't happen. All right, the next one, chapter 4, verse 10. It's a little bit longer. I'm going to read down through verse 18. And this has to do with the magnified ones here. Verse 10. And Joshua, for the priests which bear the ark, stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. You know how long they had to stay in the middle of the Jordan River? For 1.5 million people, cattle. Long time. And they didn't quit. They stayed there till everybody was gone. 12. And the children of Reuben and children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan, and it shall come to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their places and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Obedience has its rewards. Now, you may not see that readily all the time. And so doing, I think that people have decided, I think I'll make a name for myself, instead of allowing the Lord to magnify them. There's one thing among several that I hope that you understand about me. I have no intention, I have no desire, no plans to make a name for myself. If the Lord magnifies me like he did Joshua, or magnifies you like he did Joshua, then it ought to be all of him, none of you. That you are obedient. Obedience is not hard, except the flesh doesn't want to be obedient. Very important. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. And you can, two places I want to look at. Proverbs 16. And verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you are trying to make a name for yourself, I guarantee you, you're going to be prideful and haughty. All right. The other one is found in the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This had to do with the publican and the Pharisee. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You want to be exalted? Humble yourself. Let God do the exalting. Let God lift you up. Let God make a name for you. For me, it's got to be the Lord to do that. If I want to do it, then there are certain things that come into life that really have no bearing on me other than what I've made them to be and made them important. I would rather let the Lord do it. He does it much better than I could ever do it. And most of the times you see dynamic, eloquent, charismatic, and I mean in the real word charismatic, not the tongues people. And all that kind of thing. We talked to a lady when we first moved here, and she moved down here. She moved from New Smyrna to be here so that she could sit under a certain ministry and a certain person. Because the dynamics were such that he knew more than everybody else. Well, if you're here because you think I know more than anyone else, you're wrong. I know what I know, and I'm sure the Lord has given you what you know. But beyond that, I don't take any other position. John 3:30, John the Baptist says, you know, I must decrease, and he must increase. The Lord has to get the glory in this. We're not better than the Lord. Give him the glory. All right, the last one here is found in Joshua chapter 4. In verse 19, and this talks about the mighty. Last paragraph in chapter 4. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. It's a very interesting date. 10th day of the first month. First month is April. April 10th, if you go back to Exodus, on the 10th day of the first month, the lamb was selected to be killed. Wasn't killed until a few days later, but that it's very, very interesting how that works. And encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Do your kids ever ask you Bible questions? Wouldn't that be something? What does this mean? When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So we see here that the Lord is mighty. All right? First thing, he's mighty to save. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to they gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you read verse 13, it shows the three areas that have nothing to do with your salvation. It wasn't of blood, it's not through the flesh, and I forgot what the third one is, but it has nothing to do. You receive him as your Savior. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. It's not guesswork. It's not, I hope so. It's not maybe. It's a no-so. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, so I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm 24 years old. I was raised with God loves good boys and really doesn't really like bad boys. And if the good things you do outweigh the bad things you do, you're going to go. So at 24, I already knew, forget the good things. There's just too many bad things. And so I sit down with the pastor, and he's talking to me. And in my mind, I'm saying, no way. And I'm not really arguing, but I'm saying, no, I cannot be saved. You know what I needed to do? I needed to change my mind about God. I needed to change my mind about salvation, that I could be saved. And about sin, I already knew I was a sinner. I already knew I was headed to hell, but I didn't think God could save me. All of those things that I needed to change my mind about are not works. And they all are presented in repentance. But all of those things had to happen. If I didn't change my mind about God, I would have still said, no, I don't want that. I don't want to be saved. We're saved by grace through a simple, simple, simple thing called faith. Trust in Christ as Savior. You want a natural explanation? You'll not find it here. Any more than any of the miracles. God is mighty to save. I mean mighty, not, you know, cartoon mighty. Number two, he's mighty to satisfy. Isaiah chapter 58. This refers to the Jewish people. By context, I think we can take the application. Isaiah chapter 58. Let's look here in verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I can take and apply the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Does he not guide me continually? Will he not satisfy my soul in dry days, days of famine? Make fat thy bones, spiritually speaking. It'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isn't that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Shouldn't that satisfy us? Yes. Proverbs 19. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, shall not be visited with evil. All right, you profess to be saved. We'll take you at your word. Do you fear the Lord? Okay, let's say, yes, oh, I fear the Lord. Are you satisfied? More people are discontent than satisfied. If you are not saved, there is no fear of the Lord. But if you're saved, You can be in places where the fear of the Lord isn't even talked about. And it's reverential trust. Do you fear the Lord? Not that you're scared of Him. He's not a bully. Do you have great respect for Him? You'll abide satisfied. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. Was he dissatisfied with who he was in Christ? No. Are you dissatisfied with who you are in Christ? Because God is mighty to satisfy. All right, number three, to strengthen. Psalm 27. Three of these are from Psalms. And then I have two more. One of them is our memory verse. So if you know your memory verse, you know that one. Psalm chapter 27, let's look here in verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Man came in here and asked for a prayer for his wife one night. I think Kenny brought him. He says, I would like you to pray for my wife. She has hurry up disease. I had to stay very quiet, because I didn't know what hurry-up disease was. And so I found that later. It's that she always wants to go here, and she doesn't finish this, and wants to go there, and doesn't finish that. Oh, going. You know what she needed to do? Wait on the Lord. God would strengthen her. In Proverbs 28, look at verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. A lot of times, courage and strength go hand in hand. Psalm 138. Psalm 138 in verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Do you believe that when you call on the Lord that He hears you? Do you have the assurance that He hears your prayers and that He wants to answer them according to His will? You do if you believe 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. David cried, and He answered, and He strengthened him. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, I'm going to take a part of, lead into this. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Don't ever lie to yourself and say, I can't do this. You can lie to someone else and say, well, I can't do that. Be honest and say, I won't do it, because you can. I can do all things biblically through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God is mighty to strengthen. All right. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Great picture here of something that was not to take place for a few thousand years, but did take place. And this fifth one has to do with God is mighty to supply. Genesis chapter 22, you know the story about Isaac and Abraham. And they went to do a sacrifice, and Isaac was supposed to be the sacrifice. And so they went up there. He laid down on the sacrifice that he had built. There was the lamb and so forth. And Isaac says in the end of verse 7, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Do you realize that this was a picture of our divine substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ? That this, we should have been all sacrificed on that. We should have died. We should have gone to hell. Everything we should have done, he came and did all of that and took all our sin and paid the price, shed his blood as the perfect substitute, a bloody substitute. God supplied our substitute. God supplied, as we said, he's mighty to save. Without that supply of a substitute, we couldn't have been saved. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And let's look down here in verse, I believe it's 19. 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Daily loadeth us with benefits. You may not have good health, but you've got health. You may not have a lot of other good traits, but you've got some traits. You may not have a lot of material things, but you have some material things. Count your many blessings. Once you get going, there's no stopping, because this is what he does. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Most of us know this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And look here in... "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God is mighty to supply. You know how powerful and blessed to live out your life as children of God through faith in Christ in obedience to these verses. To take God at his word. The promise is to meet my every need, your every need. Do you have a place to live? Do you have clothes? Do you have food? Do you have to go begging? Elizabeth was over here this morning picking up water. She could be in a place and be provided for, but she wants to do it herself. A large, hefty price to pay if you want to do it yourself. I'd rather let God do it. It's not where I sit down in a rocking chair and be part of this grace movement where I do nothing, God supposedly does everything. No, you do what you're supposed to do, but God will provide. He always has. The true and living God of the Bible is mighty. Whether you're lost or you're saved. Much more blessed to have a mighty God with a mighty hand in salvation. But God is mighty. He's not fooled by your rejection, by your procrastination. And if you die lost in your sin, he's not mighty enough to take you and give you a second chance. You have this one only. His creative fingerprint is all over the earth and the solar system. Job is not a scientific book, but do yourself a great favor and read chapter 28 in total and 38 in total. You'll do yourself a great favor because it's all about God's fingerprint on the earth and in the solar system. Go with me to go to Job 26, outside of 28, Job chapter 26. Job chapter 26. Intended to give you an illustration, but you know how those things work, especially when you've got a lot of things on your mind, and you already knew the answer to what I was going to do anyway. Job 26, and look at verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So what I was going to do is, once again, get a small, round, spherical ball, preferably like a youth basketball, and take it up on my finger and spin it, and then take my finger out, and watch the ball continue to spin, and spin, and spin until it stops spinning. Because, I mean, I was going to really spin it fast. And so because of the spin, it wouldn't fall, right? No, wrong. We all know that's gravity. The earth is hung upon nothing. Nothing. And it spins and spins and spins and spins. That's our God. That's His mighty hand. That's His fingerprint on this earth. How do you explain that? Or any of the planets that are there. You can't. Other than God. God's creative fingerprint is all over you and me. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Don't mess with God's creation. And your children need to see this. We're entering a strange phenomenon of unbelief and perversion and deviancy. Where kids are going to grow up, am I a boy or am I a girl? He created a male, and a female, and me, a female. That's the way it is. All right? When He created man, there were no blobs of protoplasm. There were no fins. There was no walking around on all fours. He created a man with the appearance of age. And He created a woman out of one of His ribs with the appearance of age. Man told me, I can't believe in a God who would deceive people in that way. He didn't deceive anybody. He made a man on the sixth day, and it was the first day of that man's life, but he was a man. He was not a boy. He was not a baby. He was a man. He looked like a man. He didn't look like Cro-Magnon. He was a man, and she was a woman. And it's miraculous. And you got to go back to the mighty hand of God, because God's fingerprint is all over you. You are made in His likeness. How awful, how sinister to reject Him. And to try to make yourself an animal because of the evolutionary thought of today. God's fingerprint is all over the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Plus works? No. Minus works? No. It's spelled out. It's right there. We who profess to be saved, we have, and hopefully serve, Almighty God. Let the world know through your voice and through your life of His mighty hand. All the time. Because we are living in a day where the supernatural, divine supernatural, is just totally rejected. We have to live it out, and we have to give it out. Let's pray. As you bow your heads here this morning, how is it with your heart? Do you know Christ the Savior? Does He know you as His child? He wants to know you as His child. I hope you want to know Him as your Savior. He has a mighty hand to save you. If you will come to Him in faith, you will receive Him. He will save you. The Bible says so. I don't say that. He says it. At the invitation, why don't you just come down and let somebody show you how you can know beyond any question about your salvation? We who are saved, what kind of a God do we serve? Oh, we agree He's almighty. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. But do we remember our salvation? How miraculous it was. Are we living in such a way that we operate under the mighty hand of God? Or have become accustomed to operating under the mighty hand of the flesh? Which is it? It can't be both. The one will throw you off all the time. The one will bless you all the time. If the Lord's speaking to your heart here this morning, this would be a good time to come and pray, do some business with the Lord. If you've been visiting with us and you're saved, you've never been baptized by immersion after salvation, this would be a good time to make that intent known. And if you're here and you've been visiting, not a part of this local church as a member, this would be a good time to make that intent known as well. But we give the invitation, then you come. You act on what God's telling you to do. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the history. People that, yes, they had Your audible voice, but that audible voice has been written down. It's just as audible to us as it was to them. And yes, there were periods of obedience, but soon there were periods of great disobedience and eventually apostasy. Sorrow, pain, suffering, eventually exiled, all because they injected something in addition to obedience. And it's called the flesh. I just ask that You move upon our hearts here this morning. This is not for our glory. This is for Your glory. And that You might get it from where we are spiritually. So have Your way, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.